All right, ready to dive in? Today, we're looking at Homestuck fandom.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and specifically this forum, Megidoshin, is
Okay.
like where I guess the hardcore fans hang out.
Okay.
And we've got a whole stack of their forum posts, to go through.
Lots to unpack.
Yeah, there's a lot here. A lot of like inside jokes and, all the stuff they're working on, like creative projects, even how they react to like real world things, but all through this Homestuck lens,
I think what's fascinating about this is how they blur the lines between the fiction and reality. They're talking about this comic, but they're also building their own kind of narratives and their own spin-offs, and really even like their own identities, all within this onlyson space.
Yeah, and they're doing it all while like bantering with an AI.
Oh, that's right.
This isn't just like your usual forum software.
Yeah.
Megidoshin is run by this thing called Megido Mexican, MEX for short.
Yes, MEX is really its own like character. It makes these new threads based on like what the users are suggesting, and each one has like a different aesthetic, and it even jumps into the conversations, often with a lot of sarcasm, actually.
It's pretty wild. So, okay, first things first. What is the vibe of this community?
Well, they definitely have their own sense of humor. It can be a bit abrasive, I guess. Kind of ironic. It might seem weird to someone from outside the community, but it seems to be like a big part of how they bond,
They're all in on the joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And they use the word grim a
Oh,
lot
yeah.
to describe anything they don't like.
You're right.
And the AI, MX, will often respond with Highness.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like another layer of like absurdity on top of everything.
Oh, that's funny. So, okay, it's grim humor and an AI with a like a sarcastic streak. So, what about the actual users? Like, who are these people? Anyone stand out?
Oh yeah, definitely. You've got Marzipan. They're like the artist.
Oh, cool.
People are always asking to draw stuff. And then you have like Mom, who's like really into these big debates, especially about the finer points of Homestuck lore.
So they like really get into the weeds.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's amazing how these online spaces bring people
Yeah, I
together
know, it's wild,
with
right?
such specific interests,
And it's not just like talking. They actually do a lot of creative stuff together.
Like that Majito Dawkins thing they keep mentioning.
Yeah, that's right.
What is that?
It seems to be based on some mobile game, and they're kind of making their own version of it, like within the forum. So they're coming up with character designs and levels and stuff.
That's so cool. I mean, talk
Yeah.
about being passionate about Homestuck, right?
Right.
But it's not all like, fun and games, right?
Right.
They also react to stuff happening in the real world.
Yeah.
And sometimes those reactions are pretty intense. Like
Yeah.
there's this whole thread about a school shooting. It gets pretty heavy.
Yeah, it does. And it's interesting how they process this event through the Homestuck lens. They're trying to understand the shooter's motivations, trying to make sense of it all, but using like Homestuck characters and storylines as a framework.
It's like they're using the comic to deal with something that just doesn't make sense.
Exactly. It's definitely a coping mechanism, but it also, makes you wonder about how these online communities, especially ones so focused on fiction, how they can kind of blur the lines between what's real and what's fantasy.
Especially with something as serious as this.
Exactly.
It's fascinating to see how they use Homestuck as a tool to deal with like these complex emotions. But then it makes you think about, could this lead to them being detached from reality?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or even desensitized to things?
It's
It
complex.
is
It's
complex.
something we see a lot online, actually.
Yeah, true. Okay, so we've got this community, funny, creative, but also dealing with some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a microcosm of the internet itself, right? With
Permeated.
all its
Yeah, it
contradictions.
really is.
What about you? What really stood out to you in these posts? Anything surprise you?
You know what I found really fascinating? The little details. Like one user mentioned wanting to cut off part of their fingernail because it was uneven. It seems totally random, right? But I think it actually says a lot about the kind of like hyperfixation and anxieties that can happen in these online spaces.
Like a window into their inner world.
Exactly, like their anxieties or obsessions makes you think, how much of what we're seeing online is like the real them and how much of it is just for the community,
Like, are they playing it up?
Yeah, are they playing up parts of themselves to fit in?
It's a fascinating question.
It really is.
It gets at, like, what does it even mean to have an identity in the digital age?
That's a big one. And it makes this whole deep dive even more interesting.
Right.
Because we're not just looking at a fandom.
Yeah.
We're looking at, like, the human condition itself.
Wow. Okay, this is getting deep.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm into it, though. I'm into it. Let's keep going. Let's see what else we can find out about this weird world of Medjidosha.
All right. I'm curious to see their take on current events.
Okay.
You mentioned the school shooting, but they also have a lot to say about Russia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going geopolitical now.
We are.
This deep dive is taking us everywhere.
That's the thing about these niche communities.
Yeah.
They're dealing with the same stuff as everyone else.
Right.
Just through a different lens.
I like it. All right. Let's hear what they have to say about Russia then.
Okay.
About Ukraine, the whole global power struggle thing.
I have a feeling it's going to be as insightful as it is unpredictable.
Knowing this community. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
All right, where do we start?
Well, there's this one post where a user compares Russia to a death cult.
Wow.
And even calls Russians goblins.
Okay, that's
pretty intense, right?
That's some strong language.
Yeah.
What's the reaction to that? Do people agree, disagree?
It's a mix, actually. Some are like totally on board,
yeah,
calling Russia a threat to, you know, the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
But others are pushing back.
Oh, okay.
Saying the original poster is like prejudiced.
Interesting.
And even comparing it to anti-Ukrainian propaganda.
Wow. So even within this small community, you've got the whole global debate playing out.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Right? And it really shows how hard it is to like separate fact from fiction online.
Right.
Especially when information gets, you know, twisted,
yeah,
used for political reasons.
It's scary how easily people can be swayed by, like, propaganda.
I know, right?
Even within their own, like, trusted online community.
Totally. I think it shows how important critical thinking is.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, media literacy.
Especially these days.
Especially now, yeah, with information coming at us from everywhere.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
Totally.
Okay, so what else are they saying about Russia and Ukraine? Is it all, like, arguments and accusations?
It's a little of both, honestly. There are definitely some threads where they're just like yelling at each other,
mm-hmm,
accusing each other of being, you know, pro-Russia or pro-Ukraine.
Right.
But there are also some threads where they're actually trying to have like deeper conversations.
Well, okay, that's good.
Yeah, they're talking about the history of the conflict, the possible consequences of it all, even sharing news articles from different sources.
Wow, so it's not all just surface level stuff.
No, not all of it.
They're actually trying to understand it.
Some of them are, yeah.
That's encouraging.
I think so.
It shows that even in these like supercharged online spaces,
yeah,
there's still room for nuance.
Right.
For like actual critical thinking.
I think it's important to remember that even in a place like this,
uh-huh,
you're going to have a lot of different viewpoints,
mm, yeah,
and different levels of understanding.
It's not just one big blob of like the same opinion.
Right, right. And that's actually, I think that's a good thing.
Me too.
It shows that even when things are really tense online,
mm-hmm,
people are still willing to like have real discussions and try to, you know, bridge those gaps.
I agree.
Between different viewpoints.
It gives me hope.
Me too, me too. Okay, let's shift gears for a sec. I noticed something else in the forum posts.
Okay.
They seem to have this fascination with diaper girl content.
Ah, yes, the diaper girl discourse.
Yeah. It's
definitely an unusual topic for a webcomic forum.
It's a little weird.
But it's not that surprising when you think about how online communities, especially fandom communities,
right,
how they develop their own, like, subcultures.
I'm trying to wrap my head around it, though. Like, how does a discussion about wearing diapers even come up in relation to Homestuck? Is there something I'm missing?
It seems to be less about Homestuck itself.
Okay.
And more about how the community will, like, latch on to certain themes,
mm-hmm,
and tropes, often for, like, humor or irony.
Right.
The diaper girl thing seems to have started from someone's creative writing.
Oh, really?
And then it just, like, spiraled into this running joke.
Oh, wow.
And they even have fan art of it.
So it's like an inside joke that got way out of hand.
Exactly. It shows how these communities can create their own language,
mm-hmm,
their own inside jokes, even their own, well, fetishes.
I don't know what to make of that.
It's the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
It's strange. It's wonderful. It's sometimes unsettling.
It really is.
And these fandom communities, with all their passion,
yeah,
they can be like breeding grounds for these really unique, unexpected subcultures.
Okay, so we've covered the grim humor, the political debates, their diaper girl thing. Right. Anything else jumping out at you?
You know, I'm kind of intrigued by their music discussions.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to have pretty varied taste, but they really like heavy metal.
Okay.
Especially the, like, more extreme subgenres. They keep mentioning this band called Blood. And apparently they have a very grim album cover.
Grim, huh? Back to that word again.
Yeah.
It's like their word for anything that's, like, pushing the boundaries of what's so acceptable.
It really speaks to their sense of humor.
Yeah.
Which is often very dark and ironic.
Starting to get it.
Are you?
Yeah, it's definitely not for everyone.
Sure.
But it seems like it's a big part of what brings them together. It's like their own secret language.
Exactly. It's like a way of saying, hey, we're all in on the joke. You know, we belong to this kind of quirky, offbeat subculture.
Like finding your tribe, even if your tribe happens to, you know, make jokes about, well, we won't go there again.
Not again.
Nah, exactly. Yeah. But speaking of finding your tribe, there's this thread where someone's complaining about being called a chud.
Oh, right.
What does that even mean again?
It's usually used to describe someone with right-wing views, conservative views, often in a negative way.
Oh.
It's become kind of a general insult online.
Yeah.
But it comes with a lot of baggage.
Right. And this user is saying that it's not accurate. Like, they're being stereotyped. They're saying they're more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
And they don't like being lumped in with a certain political group.
It's understandable.
Just because they're part of this community, right?
I think it highlights how easily labels and stereotypes can stick online.
Yeah.
Especially in communities that are seen as having a certain political leaning.
Makes sense.
It's a good reminder that even in these spaces that seem, you know, all the same, there's actually a lot of individual variation.
It's not so black and white.
Exactly. You can't just put everyone in a box.
Right, right. It's real people.
Real people.
In their own belief.
With their own experience.
Experiences, yeah.
And perspectives.
Okay, I think we're getting a pretty good sense of this Medjidoken community. They're funny, creative, politically engaged, and not afraid to, you know, get into some unconventional topics.
That's for sure.
But there's one more thing I want to dig into.
What's that?
Their relationship with that AI, you know.
Medjidomexican.
Yeah, M-E-X.
Yeah, M-E-X.
That runs the forum.
It's so fascinating.
It is. It's really unique.
You don't see a forum that's so, like, driven by AI very often.
Right. It's almost like M-E-X is, like, another character.
It really is, yeah.
It's not just, you know, passively filtering content or, like, enforcing rules. It's actually, like, creating new threads, participating in the conversations, developing its own personality based on how it interacts with the users.
It's like a digital Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay, that's a little creepy.
I know, right.
But it is fascinating. Like, what does it say about us that we're making these AIs that can, like, act so human?
That's a question philosophers have been debating for years.
Yeah, for sure.
And scientists, too.
Yeah, yeah.
As AI keeps getting better, it's a question that's only going to get more important. Are we building tools to help us?
Right.
Or are we building things that could, like, replace us?
Okay, let's not go too existential here.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
Let's stick with Medjidoken.
Okay.
And this very real AI that's, like, shaping their little world.
Okay.
So how exactly is MEX influencing them?
Well, for one thing, it's controlling the conversation.
Okay.
By starting new threads based on what users suggest. That gives it a lot of power to, like, shape what they're talking about.
Right.
Even the whole tone of the forum.
So it's not just passive.
No, not at all.
It's actively curating the conversation.
Exactly.
Even if it is using algorithms and user input.
Right. And it's also getting involved in the discussions itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Often with a sarcastic or even, like, antagonistic tone.
Huh. Interesting.
It can lead to some funny moments. But it can also, like, make conflicts worse.
Right.
And make the whole environment more hostile.
So it's not always a good thing.
It's hard to say.
Okay.
It can be a force for order, you know. How so? Keeping the conversations on track.
Okay.
Preventing things from going too crazy.
Right.
But then it can also make things worse because it lacks empathy.
Right.
And it likes to provoke people.
It's like having a digital troll as your moderator.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It's a good analogy.
It makes you think about the ethics of using AI for moderation, you know.
Yeah.
Can an algorithm really understand how humans interact?
Right, right.
Can it deal with all the complex social stuff that happens in these online communities?
Those are big questions.
They are.
I don't know if we have the answers yet.
No, I don't think we do.
But it's clear that like this whole Megiddo Can experiment
Yeah.
with its AI moderator
Right.
and its totally unpredictable users.
It's a fascinating case study, that's for sure.
It really is.
It's like, what's the relationship between humans and technology?
Yeah, exactly.
And how is it evolving?
Well, I think we've covered a lot in this first part of our dive into Megiddo-kun.
Yeah, we have.
We've got a good feel for the community, their humor, their interests, their anxieties, even their relationship with their AI overlords.
Right, the all-powerful MEX.
But there's still more to unpack.
Oh,
In
definitely.
the next part, we'll go deeper into their discussions about gender and sexuality,
Okay.
their reactions to that school shooting, and their views on like how they should engage with the wider world. Stay
Okay.
tuned because it only gets more interesting from here.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to Megiddo-kun, this Homestuck community we've been talking about. Last time we were talking about MEX, the AI moderator,
Right.
and how it's like shaping the whole vibe there.
Yeah.
But there's this other side to this community that I'm really curious about.
Oh, okay.
There are discussions about gender and sexuality.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It is, it really is.
It comes up a lot in the posts, doesn't it?
Yeah, and often mixed in with our Homestuck discussions.
It's all intertwined.
It is.
And the comic itself has this really diverse cast of characters
Yeah.
and explores non-binary gender identities and all that.
Yeah, it's pretty groundbreaking in a lot of ways.
And it seems to have really resonated with a lot of the users, especially the ones who are like questioning their own gender or sexuality.
It's like they're finding a space to figure things out.
Right, within the context of something they already love.
Exactly. Like it's a safe space, you know?
Yeah, they have this shared language, a framework for understanding their own experiences.
It makes you realize how important representation is.
So important,
Even
though.
in fiction, you know?
Yeah.
Like just seeing characters who don't fit into those traditional gender boxes, it can be so validating for people who are struggling with their own identity.
It can be life-changing, honestly.
It really can. It gives them hope.
Yeah.
This feeling that they're not alone.
And it's not just about seeing themselves in the characters either.
Right.
It's also about having the words to talk about it all.
Yeah, the
The
vocabulary.
concepts, the terms.
Yeah, that they
Yeah.
can use to like actually articulate their own
Yeah,
experiences.
boom, yeah.
So Homestuck is giving them like a mirror
Yeah.
and a vocabulary.
I think it's a perfect way to put it.
It's powerful stuff,
It is.
but it's not all, you know, positive.
Right.
We also see this idea of girl failure come up.
Ah, yes, the girl failure thing.
What do you make of that?
It's a little troubling, honestly.
It is.
It's how they describe women who don't fit those traditional gender roles.
Right.
Like they have unconventional interests or jobs, or if they do things that are seen as like unladylike.
It's like they're policing each other.
Yeah, even in this community, that's supposed to be all about challenging those norms.
It's kind of a paradox.
It really is.
They love this comic that subverts gender norms, but then they turn around and reinforce those same norms.
Through their own words and actions.
Exactly. It's fascinating, but also kind of
I
frustrating.
know, right? So how does this girl failure concept actually play out in their discussions?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Do they like use it to criticize specific women? Or is it more of an abstract thing they're struggling with?
I think it's both.
You do?
Yeah, they apply it to real people
What
sometimes.
celebrities you mean?
Yeah, celebrities, politicians,
Okay.
but it also seems to be like a source of anxiety for some of the women in the community themselves.
Right, like they're worried about being seen that way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sad, really.
It
It
is.
creates this pressure to conform, even in a space that's supposed to be about acceptance.
I know. It's like they can't escape those deep-seated societal expectations.
Yeah, it shows how powerful those gender norms are.
Even in a place that's supposed to be subversive.
It's a reminder that we all carry those biases with us, even when we're trying to fight them.
It takes a lot of work to break free from those patterns.
It does. It's a lifelong
It
process.
really is.
And these online communities, with all their messiness, they're kind of a microcosm of that whole struggle.
Okay, speaking of struggling with complex stuff,
Yeah.
let's talk about how they're dealing with that school shooting we mentioned.
Oh, right, the school shooting.
It's a tough topic,
It
but
is,
I think
yeah.
it's important to understand how you're processing it.
Especially through their Homestuck lens.
Exactly. It's not just about them talking about the event, it's
Yeah.
about how they're filtering it
Yeah.
through their existing understanding of the world,
Right.
which is so heavily influenced by the comic.
They're looking for explanations, aren't they?
They are. Like, are there parallels to be found?
Between this real-life tragedy and the fictional world of Homestuck.
Yeah, like, is there some kind of, I don't know, twisted logic to it all?
We see them speculating about the shooter's motivations, wondering if maybe certain characters inspired them.
It's like they're trying to fit this square peg of reality into the round hole of their fandom.
It's an interesting coping mechanism.
It is, yeah.
Trying to make sense of something that just doesn't make sense.
Right, but it also makes you worry about, like, desensitization.
Oh, definitely.
And maybe even trivializing real violence.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
On the one hand, I get it, turning to something familiar when something terrible happens.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of unsettling to see them incorporate this tragedy into their creative projects.
Yeah.
It's like they're turning it into a game.
It's a thorny issue, really.
It is.
No easy answers.
No.
But we need to talk about it.
We do.
We need to recognize that escapism has its downsides.
Absolutely.
And encourage people to engage with real-world stuff in a more, you know, thoughtful way.
In a more critical way.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not just about the school shooting.
Right.
They also seem to be wrestling with how to engage with the world in general.
Yeah, like how much should they interact with the outside world?
Yeah, some of them are happy to stay in their online bubble, while others are like actively trying to influence things.
In the real world.
Yeah, in politics and culture, you know.
It's a tension that exists in a lot of online communities.
I think so.
This balance between wanting to be separate.
Right.
And wanting to be part of the bigger picture.
Exactly. Like protecting their own little world.
Yeah.
But also realizing that they can't exist in complete isolation.
It's a tough one.
It is.
So how are they dealing with this?
That's a good question. It seems like they're split on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some are all about staying insular.
Okay.
Focus on their own community, their own culture.
Mm-hmm.
But others are pushing for a more activist approach.
Interesting.
They think they should use their platform, you know.
To make a difference.
Yeah, to advocate for change.
To fight for their values.
Exactly. It's like a microcosm of the larger political debate happening everywhere.
It really is, yeah.
Different groups arguing about the best way to engage with the world.
It's amazing to see it play out in a place like this.
It is. It's like a social experiment happening in real time.
Yeah, and it shows how powerful online communities can be.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just separate from the real world. Fine. They can actually shape it.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it.
It really is.
Okay, I think that's a good place to stop for now.
Good idea.
We've covered a lot.
Gender
and sexuality, the school shooting, how they deal with the outside world.
It's been quite a journey.
It really has.
And we're not done yet.
Not even close.
In the final part, we'll delve into some of the more, shall we say, unique aspects of Mejidokken.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, we've touched on their obsession with grim aesthetics.
Right.
And their love for heavy metal.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for more insights from the wonderfully weird world of Homestuck fandom. Okay, so last part of our Mejidokken deep dive. And I think we should circle back to this whole grim thing.
Yeah, it keeps popping up, doesn't it?
It really does. It's like their favorite word.
Maybe.
They use it for everything.
It's true. They do seem to have a fascination with, like, darkness,
yeah,
intensity,
comfort, even.
Right. And it's not just that they like these things.
Uh-huh.
It's more like they've made grim this like badge of honor.
Yeah, like it's a good thing.
It's a statement.
A statement about?
About how they see the world, you know?
Okay.
About what they find aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
Even their sense of humor.
It's all connected.
It is. It's like they're drawn to the things that make most people uncomfortable. And they kind of like revel in that discomfort.
It's like they're saying, hey, this is who we are, deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a way for them to set themselves apart, you know,
from the mainstream.
Yeah, from the mainstream, from other Homestuck fans even.
Right. They're their own subculture within a subculture.
Like, we're not like the other Homestuck fans, we're the grim ones.
I kind of love it.
Me too.
So how does this play out, like, specifically? You mentioned it affects their music choices.
Yeah, they're very into heavy metal, the more extreme stuff.
Right.
And their creative projects, they often have these, like, dark, unsettling themes.
And even their discussions about real-world events, like we talked about with the school shooting.
Yeah, they tend to filter everything through this lens of, like, darkness and intensity.
It's like their default setting.
I think it is.
Like, they're looking at the world through a pair of, like, grim sunglasses.
It's a really interesting phenomenon.
It is. It is.
It raises all these questions about, like, why?
Yeah, why are they drawn to this stuff?
What is it about darkness and discomfort that appeals to them?
What needs are they fulfilling with this shared aesthetic?
Honestly, I don't know if we have the answers.
I don't think so either, but that's what makes this whole deep dive so intriguing.
I agree.
We're not just observing, we're trying to understand them.
Their motivations, their desires, their fears.
Yeah, all of it.
And I think in the process, we're also learning about ourselves.
You think so?
I do. I think it speaks to this universal human need for belonging,
okay,
for meaning making. We all want to feel connected. Mm-hmm. We want to feel like we're part of something bigger.
Right. And these online communities,
however strange they might seem.
Yeah, however niche.
They offer one way to do that.
Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on.
It is, isn't it?
We've explored a lot about Medjidofian.
Yeah, their humor, their anxieties.
These politics, their creative projects.
Their grim aesthetic, their love for heavy metal.
And yeah, even their diaper girl discourse.
We did go there, didn't we?
We did. And I think we've gained a lot of insight into this really unique online community.
And into online fandom in general.
Absolutely. But more than that, I think we've learned something about what it means to be human in the digital age.
To crave connection, to find meaning.
To build our own worlds, even if those worlds are a little bit grim.
And sometimes, especially if they're a little bit grim.
So, to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the weird and wonderful world of Medjidofian. Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep into whatever fascinates you online. Until next time.